Sir Francis Drake was the prototypical swashbuckling British ship's captain. Ferdinand Magellan died on his circumnavigation. Drake survived his trip around the world and helped make England a global power. Erica Martin Siebert is an archaeologist with the National Park Service. She says Drake's voyage was the moonshot of its time.
He was a rock star. He did something that many people thought was impossible.
It was a 3-year journey, and in 1579, Drake spent 5 weeks repairing his ship and interacting with West Coast tribes. Gary Gitson believes that happened on the northern Oregon coast. He's an amateur historian whose house overlooks Nehalem Bay.
Crazy.
Gitson leads his dog Gracie and me to his basement library. His shelves are lined with books about Sir Francis Drake. But that's not all. He's got what he says is evidence the British explorer dropped anchor on the bay he can see from his window. Gitson points to a photo of an old survey marker chiseled into a rock found near here. It's definitely not Native American.
This is what he signed. You know, the only person who could do something like that was Francis Drake.
And then there's Drake's own map of the place he landed.
It's the same outline of Nehalem Bay.
Gitson is writing a book called Oregon's Stolen History. In it, he refutes the generally accepted claim that Drake landed not in Oregon, but just north of what is now San Francisco. Standing on a cliff overlooking Nehalem Bay, I ask Gitson, why does this matter so much?
Truth. Otherwise, we're just living a bunch of lies. And do we really want to live a bunch of lies? I don't think so. If that's the case, then why don't we just keep saying that the sun is revolving around the earth and the earth's still flat? So, I mean, yeah, I can agree with that. If I'm in California.
But they're not laughing in California. Gitson's nemesis in this debate is Ed Vonderporten. He heads a Society of Sir Francis Drake history buffs in the Bay Area. As far as he's concerned, scholars settled the question long ago of where Drake first encountered West Coast tribes, in California's Drake's Bay. Most recently, he says, the National Park Service put that claim through not one, but two scholarly commissions.
To review all of this and say, okay, take a look. Is there any other alternative? And the answer came out, as it always has, a resounding no. There has to be only one location, and it's Drake's Cove at Drake's Bay.
Vonderporten has the edge in this fight for historical recognition. The National Park Service has accepted his petition to officially designate 17 locations around Drake's Bay as a national landmark. But that's not quite the end of the story.
This declaration does not choose one side over the other.
The National Park Service's Erica Martin Siebert says the point of this landmark is to recognize the first contact between the British and Native Americans.
Today, at this time, our current scholarship supports this area as the landing site of Drake's Bay. But that doesn't mean that we can't continue to look at other places.
Like Whale Cove in southern Oregon. That's the place archaeologist Melissa Darby is studying. Darby says, as a scientist, she doesn't trust anyone who's 100% sure of something that happened more than 4 centuries ago.
We don't know where he landed. And just the evidence that there's so many arguments about it tells me that this is not a done deal.
For now, though, California's claim to Sir Francis Drake seems to be a done deal. All that's needed now to turn Drake's Bay into a historic landmark is a signature from Interior Secretary Ken Salazar. I'm Colin Fogarty, reporting.